On tonight's show, we've got the game of the week that features two undefeated conference foes taking on each other.
Plus, we've got another ranked team
ranked
the Sun Belt. So excited for it.
And we've got our best bets. As usual, we're going to be breaking it down for you. So let's roll it. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money!
Big water slides, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Welcome into another exciting episode of the Bench Boys podcast. I'm Colin Cahill.
I'm Thomas Gleaton.
And we are the Bench Boys, and we're on location with this presentation. Yep, it
That's
sounded
right.
Right. Yep, yep.
It did sound right.
We are in Troy, Alabama for the Troy versus South Alabama game. It is Wednesday. We are recording a little bit early today because both of us will be partaking in covering the big battle for the Pel. And our audience, man, they are here too.
Yo, yo, yo.
You know, we had to bring some South Alabama love into the show tonight. So
we are a Sunbelt podcast. Okay.
Alyssa,
we're not going to have that
Alyssa,
right now.
Is your skin okay while you're here? Like, are you doing okay, like, being on campus?
I feel real dirty, but, you know, other than that, like, it'll be fine whenever we walk out of here with a belt.
Oh, already hitting the fighting words.
Talk.
Well, we will talk about that game a little bit. Obviously, we talked about that game last week in depth, but tonight we'll still talk a little bit about it. But first, obviously, thank you for listening in because this is our podcast. If you are listening in, hit that subscribe button, hit the smash button, whatever it is. Just subscribe to us. That's what we need.
We're also on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. Give us a follow. We got Colin's got some good takes at Colin Cahill. I've got some okay takes at Thomas Gleaton. Also, just a real quick explanation. Like, we're on location at Troy South, but it's not our game of the week.
It is not.
That's because you're probably listening to this on Thursday. You know the score of the South-Troy game.
You do.
We do not.
Yep, we don't.
That's the whole reason we put some of these games in advance like we did.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean...
We talked about this.
Thanks for understanding is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
basically.
Thanks for understanding. So,
with all that disclaimer out of the way, let's get out of the gate.
Out of the gate.
And out of the gate, you know, we're just going to do a quick recap. One, did we win? Did we beat everybody this past week, I think? We went like 5-1.
Yeah, we all tied. Like, we all did the same numbers, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
We all did the same teams.
Well, everyone's a winner here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but quick recap. Obviously, our game of the week was Georgia State and Coastal Carolina.
And we both got that wrong.
We did. We both Coastal Carolina just... Their running game didn't show up. That was the big thing in that game.
Didn't we talk about that?
Yeah, I mean,
you were talking about CJ Marable that whole time.
Marable had to show up, and Marable did not show up at all in that game.
And there you go. There's your answer.
But I'll tell you who did show up. It was Dan Ellington, and I'm pretty sure in that last week's episode, we also did say Dan Ellington's probably going to throw for like 400 yards and laugh at us in our face. Well, he didn't throw for 400, but he did a lot more than throw for 400 yards. I mean, we're looking at a 122 on the ground, but this was where... This is where his what he's good for showed up. Is he ran for 128 yards on the ground. I mean, we're talking 128 on the ground, 122 through the air. He did have an interception, but he also had a touchdown to make up for that. It was a good game. Like, it wasn't a bad game. It never got out of a hand, really. I mean, I think Georgia State was up like 31-10 at one point, and Coastal kind of made it a game again. But this game never got out of hand, but Dan Ellington was the reason why Georgia State just looked comfortable the entire time. They looked more comfortable. It's because their star player was actually playing. So he is my hustle award is Dan Ellington.
And you said 31-13 at the end of the third. And I mean that's not explosive, like that's not owning the game because it ended up only being a 10-point game.
Mm-hmm.
But they did control the game, and that my hustle award winners of this week are both on that same side of the ball.
Winners
on that same time on that same team. Yeah, right. Like, so Dan Ellington ran for 128 yards. He led the team in rushing, but Georgia State had 300 yard rushers in a single game.
That's scary.
Georgia State was doing what Louisiana is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Trey Barnett and Seth Page had 214 yards between the two of them. And three touchdowns between the two of them. Like, if one person did that, that would be, like, dominating the game. Mm-hmm. But Georgia State's backfield, Georgia State's run game absolutely controlled the game. And you talked about it with Dan Ellington enough. I'm going to take the other side of that because, like, these two teams, like, just counting it up. Let's look at this. The number of carries. Dan Ellington had 19. Trey Barnett had 20. So that's sharing the ball. Mm-hmm. That's running the ball with a bunch of different dudes. And that's obviously the story of the game. That's how Georgia State won this game and how
it really does sound a lot like how Louisiana's been playing. They have that running quarterback and they're running out of the gun and so I think they're kind of taking a page out of ULL's book of what they've been doing and obviously it's working. I mean they go for 350 on the ground. They hold Coastal to 105. Their offense never looked like comfortable in at all in any point of the game. And credit to Georgia State's defense. I mean, Georgia State's defense did what they needed to do. And the other thing that Georgia State did, 35 minutes of possession. 35 minutes of possession.
Controlled the ball.
That was exactly what Joe Cashion told us. He goes, Coastal has got to win that time of possession. If they've got to win that time of possession, and they've got to be able to run the ball, and they weren't able to do both. They weren't able to do either of them. So I think that's another contributing factor of why Georgia State did win this ball game was just because they're Georgia State's been so physical right now, and that physicality is kind of like what we saw out of Louisiana early on in the year, and Georgia State's kind of taken that, and I think they're fighting right up there with App State and Louisiana of being one of the more physical teams in this conference. And 350 yards, that goes right there and proves it.
Let's take a step back and think about what you just said. Georgia State is one of the three most physical teams in the conference.
They're doing it right now.
Georgia State.
On offense, they're proving it, man. They ran for 390-something yards against Ark State.
They ran for 300 against Coastal.
They ran for 300 against Coastal. I mean, that's some power running right there. That is a dedicated, we're going to run the ball down your throat type ordeal, and you've got to have a mindset that we're just going to be more physical than you, and they're doing it.
Well, let's transition real quick to the team that we've been making comparisons to this whole time, Louisiana and App State. They played a week ago on Wednesday against ULM and App State.
Yeah, well, it was a heck of a game.
It was
a heck of a game, and
defense really showed up.
Defense did. I mean, they held App State to 17 points. I think that's their lowest turnout the entire year,
and then the defense held Louisiana to rushing the whole game too.
Yeah, I mean, and there it was a clean game, no turnovers at all for the game. App State 147 on the air, 196, and App State right now, like, they're putting up 40 something points a game, but they aren't doing it in explosive, like, they never have a game where they go out and they throw for 500 yards or they run for 300 yards. They haven't had that game yet. And I don't know whether to be afraid or, like, worried or be like, well, we aren't really – I don't know how to, like, react to how their offense is playing, because Zach Thomas is playing really well right now. Like, I mean, he's not – and, again, he doesn't have these gaudy numbers. It's just – he just goes out there and he does what he needs to do, and they get points. I mean, we're gonna hear from both sides, obviously, here in a little bit. It is our game of the week. But just early on, looking at App State – They are deadly in the red zone, and we're going to talk about that later on in our interviews. But that is one of the things that they did well last week against ULO, is when they got into the red zone, they were touchdowns in the red zone, and Zach Thomas was a big part of that. He had, I think, two rushing touchdowns last weekend. So, but no, it was a good defensive game. It's what I thought we'd see. I thought we'd see a little bit more running game out of Louisiana, but credit to App. I mean, their run team, they love stopping the run there, and they go up against arguably the best backfield in the Sun Belt right now, and they shut them up. That's basically what they did. So that was a heck of a game.
It was. It was, and it earned App State something nearly – well, no. App State made history off that one game. App State is the first team to be ranked higher than 25 in the AP poll. Yep. From the Sun Belt.
Huge for the Sun Belt.
Absolutely.
Huge.
Like, and we talk about this every week, just about. I feel like we make a mention of it every week. We talk about how the Sun Belt's getting better as a conference. I think this year, across the board, the growth is there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we expected it last year. We're really there this year. Across the board, the Sun Belt Conference is a lot better than it expected. And it's just, we're showing it through App State being number 24 in the country now. Obviously, they're the number one team. Obviously, they're the team to beat. Obviously, things aren't going to change until they start slipping. But for right now, App State is a heck of a ball team, and it's only because they're playing against this competition that we're on. I'm not trying to make this about how the rest of the conference is good, because this is about how App State is good.
Oh, it's really incredible that...
How consistent they've been.
How consistent? Through a different coaching staff.
Yeah.
I mean, Satterfield basically did what Neil Brown did, and he took... he didn't take the kitchen sink like Neil did, but he took a lot of that coaching staff up with him to Louisville. And so the fact that this is... Now, granted, that the scheme isn't that much different, but it's not that much different here at Troy, and we're seeing the problems that Troy's having this year. But the defense is still there, and the offense is still there. I mean, they still pride themselves on being the downhill running game type team with Drinkwitz at the helm. And that's the most impressive part, I think, is they've been able to keep that level of play. And look where they are now. They're a 5-0 team. They're one of 12 teams left in the entire country that are undefeated at this point. That's saying something. And when six or seven of them basically are Power 5 teams, they're still undefeated. And they have a Power 5 win. So they're doing what they need to do, and they've earned this top 25.
Right? I absolutely agree with you, but we're going to have to take a step back, because you just said something about – I want to make a point real quick.
Okay.
I know we're Sunbelt specific, but I think it's worth talking about. We have said over the we've said this year that every time I have picked App State, I've picked them and I've said, until they slip up, I'm going to pick them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick them until they slip up. I'm going to pick on them. Dude, I'm repeating myself. Mm-hmm. That's my point is they're so consistent. Mm-hmm. They haven't missed a step. You said something about how Troy has a new coaching staff and the changes they made. Offensively.
They're better production out of their offense right now for Troy.
Right.
But the defense is what has, I think, and if you look even in special teams in coverage, in kick coverage, punt coverage, when you start getting into those, there's a big gap right there in this coaching staff and what the production was coming out of special teams.
I think it's important to look to highlight the context of two specific games, the Southern Miss and Arkansas State game, not only for the defense's weaknesses against a huge passing attack in mm-hmm. both teams from Jack Abraham mm-hmm. and Lane Hatcher now. But you talk about special teams, Arkansas State and Southern Miss have two of the best special teams in the country.
They're good teams.
In kick returns and punt returns. So my point is, Troy on offensively did not miss a step.
No.
I think it's worth crediting that for Troy.
Well, I guess this is...
The comparison is still there
yeah.
as two teams who were at the top of the conference and went through a transition. Mm-hmm. So that's
I think
safe to say.
App State in the three phases of the game transitioned way better than what Troy in the three phases of the game have transitioned. That App, I still think, is a complete three-phase team. I don't think Troy has all three phases as good as what they were before. I guess that's what I probably should have said. So, but no, it's incredible what App's been doing. It's huge for the conference that we're halfway through the year right now, and we have a team that's undefeated and ranked in the top 25. That keeps us up there. I think App, if Boise State loses, they're it. I think SMU, the AAC is really tough this year, and if App goes undefeated and they have two road wins over Power 5 teams at North Carolina and South Carolina respectively, that is enough, I think, for them to get into an NY6 and be the group of five. Now, it's going to depend on where they're ranked because it's the highest ranked G5 team, but that should be enough for them to be up there.
On their own against a one loss or undefeated SMU or Memphis?
Mm-hmm.
You think that? I'm going to have to disagree with you on that.
You still think SMU or
I still think a one-loss SMU or a one-loss Memphis gets
because
in
of how good the AAC
right.
is this year.
Right.
I mean, I would see that, but
you got Cincinnati, you got Navy, Houston's okay. You
I mean,
got
UCF
Tulane.
Is still UCF. I mean, UCF
exactly.
lost. They lost a close game
to Pitt.
To
that's
Cincinnati
a Power 5.
Way,
oh, and Cincinnati.
Well, so
Cincinnati's one of the top teams.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about more of that later. Let's get back to App State.
Yeah.
Let's go on up to Boone for our Know Your Enemy game of the week.
Know Your Enemy.
Now it's time for Know Your Enemy, and man, I called it division domination. It's because these two teams are at the top of the conference right now, and for good reason. They're very good, at least offensively. App State, we talked about them just now, completely blowing it away. ULM has some solid offensive numbers. Josh Johnson, breakout player of the year by far in my book. I think we were almost leaning toward giving him a second Hustle Belt Award.
We were close this past week.
Again this week, but man, has he just been phenomenal for them?
I mean,
so
I think he transferred in from I think like A&M or someplace. The kid's got talent, and 700 yards, you know, already on the season is great. But I think there's we'll talk about through the interview with our next guest here in a little bit. But there's I think there's another kind of X factor on this team that is not a lot of people talk about. So, but first, let's get into this interview with ULM. And now we're joined by Nick White, the play-by-play voice of the ULM Warhawks. Nick, I guess the third week in a row we've had somebody come back on the show. So either we're doing something right, or you know, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. But you're back on the show once again, and thank you for joining us.
Well, I'm glad to be back on. I just hope that the result for the Warhawks is better than the last time I came on with you guys. But, yeah, I appreciate the invite anytime to talk up the football team and these athletes. I'm certainly all about it.
You know, last time we talked with you, I think it was the Memphis game. And obviously Memphis is a tall order. We keep getting you guys on games with Memphis was almost ranked at that point, and now you guys get another ranked team with App State. You know, what has kind of happened since that Memphis game, and how's the team kind of progressed since then?
Well, they were ranked. Memphis was 24 in the coaches poll whenever they came into Monroe. It was the first time we had ever hosted a top 25 team. And so we were all excited about that. And look, Memphis is awfully good, and I think they're way better than what they showed last week against Temple. They just turned the football over too much against the Owls up there, and they've got a lot of talent there. But, you know, obviously we were disappointed in the loss to Memphis, but, you know, I was extremely pleased with the way that we moved the football there against them. You know, that was a defense that was really stellar through the first four ball games, and we put up double and then some the amount of yards that they were giving up, over 500 yards there to their defense. And you know, we saw you know, some great plays by Caleb Evans. Actually, Josh Johnson and Caleb Evans both went over 100 yards on the ground in that game. Josh Peterson had a couple of touchdown receptions there, and just a late pick, you know, pick six kind of sealed the deal. And I'll put that on Caleb. I think the pass was there. Receivers, you know, we've had way too many drops. If there's been a negative area this year, our receivers have just dropped too many passes this year. And, you know, tip drill, pick six, and ball game was over. Then, you know, I believe last time I talked to you guys, I kind of went on a mini rant about the scheduling by the conference and how can you put not just, you know, ULM playing a Texas State team that had a bye while we were playing Memphis in 90-plus degree heat, and they're sitting in the recliner kicked back, and not only that, then you make us travel down there. But, you know, and I've heard some differing opinions from our fans about the Texas State game. Here's my opinion, because I was there and I saw it in person. That was an outstanding win for this football team, and Coach V did a great job of kind of downplaying the short week, but he knew it was going to be a factor. Offense in the Memphis game ran 92 plays in that amount of heat that I talked about. And so we knew there was going to be some fatigue. Warhawks got out to a fast start there, but about midway through the second quarter, I could tell, and everybody in our broadcast booth could tell, kind of hit a wall, kind of okay, that adrenaline wore off, and this was a fatigued football team. A turnover in the third quarter by Josh Johnson whenever we're in the red zone turned into a major, at least a 10-point swing, if not a 14-point swing there. Texas State scored a quick touchdown, cuts it down to three. Then it's a tough situation here. You know, you should be up by multiple scores, and you're only up by three. Then in the last drive of the ball game, Coach Viator, Josh Johnson was absolutely worn out in that game because what he did against Memphis and then what he was doing against Texas State there, and he had a really good game against Texas State. And he made a great decision, did Coach B. Austin Vaughn, who was the projected starter coming out of camp, and he got a little bit banged up. He hadn't played a whole lot, but he put him into the lineup there, and that was just the juice that offense needed. And he really carried the team down for an 86-yard, 13-play drive, took up nearly 7 minutes off the game clock, and punched in the final touchdown and kind of sealed the deal. So it was a fantastic win, and it was even better in that we had massive plane issues coming home, which I actually knew about during the course of the game. The team and coaches, they had no clue about it. And we're sitting there thinking, oh, we got to win this game. We got to win this game. This is going to be terrible. I think we boarded the plane at 5 a.m. and touched down in Monroe at 6 a.m. But it was a whole lot sweeter after a win. And we were exhausted, but we had a Saturday off. And now ready for another long trip up to take on an outstanding top 25 ranked team in Appalachian State.
You know, how big, just one last thing on this Texas State game, you know, I'm looking at your schedule for the next 3 weeks, and you go App, Ark, and Georgia State, and those three are, in my opinion, by far the three best playing teams right now if you look at their offensive production of what they're doing. How big a game was that for ULM to win heading into this three-game stretch?
Well, I think if you look at the end of the season – and we're sitting at 6 or 7 wins and going bowling, you're going to point back to that last 8 minutes at Texas State and say that's what got you there. Because, once again, you know, knowing what the schedule was upcoming, that you really needed to go win that football game. And that's why I term it, you know, I feel like ULM is not at a place to sit here and for their fans, I should say, to complain about a win. And yet we heard a lot of complaining about a win, and didn't look like this. And I'm just – sometimes I think fans – and I certainly appreciate the fans, and I don't want to sound negative, but I feel like they were in such an instant gratification society right now that, you know, if you don't look just A-plus superior on every single play, then, you know, it's kind of like they said in Waterboy, oh, no, we suck again. And that's not the case. That's why I think that was an outstanding win for ULM because of what's ahead. You just said it. We do get a bye week in there after Appalachian State, but then two games back at home, though, Arkansas State and Georgia State. And, you know, if you're successful in that little three-game span, then you're talking about something really special potentially here on the Bayou. So it really was a massive win for this football team. And once again, I point back, if this team goes bowling at the end of the year, or if they're in contention for a conference championship, they'll look back to that final 8 minutes at Texas State and say, that's what put them there.
Yeah, so let's get on to this week. You know, you face another, you know, top 25 ranked team in App, and App's kind of been the flag carrier for the conference for the past probably 3 or 4 years, and just how well they've been playing. Is this the same, and they have a whole new coaching staff, is this the same App team that you expect to see this week as what we've seen in the past, you know, 3 years?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've watched them. We watched them Wednesday night out at dinner, and then, you know, at the hotel against Lafayette. And, you know, ironically, I go back to that last drive that we had. They had a massive drive at the end of that football game to put the Cajuns away as well. And we kind of talked about that with Coach B this week. You know, the final two teams that are left undefeated in the league are squaring off this week, and they closed out games, midweek games on the road in similar fashion. Look, this team is so solid. And you know, in my prep this week, here's what, over anything else about this team, the biggest thing that's impressed me is what they're doing on special teams. They've got 4 block kicks already this year. That's unbelievable. Whenever you look at just some numbers throughout, I mean, they got to lead the nation. I haven't dug into this stat. I know they lead the conference in that area, the nation in that area as well. That's just unbelievable what they've been able to do. And then they've scored a couple of times on special teams. They got a pick 6 in there. You know, finding extra ways to go and win football games. And that's what great teams do. And I do believe that this is a great team inside the Sun Belt Conference that we're going to be seeing, you know, on Saturday up there on the mountaintop. But then you also look at some things that impress me, just me in particular, watching them a few times this year, is how efficient they are on offense. They're not blowing you away as far as their offensive numbers right now. But they're very workmanlike in the things they're doing. Got Evans, who is, you know, behind Josh Johnson right now as far as the rushing lead, but he's played one less game. He's having a really good season there. You got Zach Thomas, who, you know, his numbers haven't been, you know, mind-blowing at 949 yards, I believe, during the course of this season. But he's been efficient. You know, he's over 70% as far as his completion percentage. And then the biggest stat that I see, other than some of those things I mentioned on special teams, is what they're doing in the red zone. They're 21 for 22 in the red zone as far as scoring, and 20 of those have been touchdowns. That's unbelievable. They get in that red area, they're scoring, and they're not going for three, they're getting six. And that's what will win a team a championship. And so those things have really stood out to me, and things that I know that Coach V and that staff has been preaching to the Warhawks. And, you know, they're not going to beat themselves. They're going to take care of their business, and you just got to find a way to go try to take this thing from them on the road.
You know, you're talking about Josh Johnson and how good of a year he has. I mean, this is probably going to be his next to Memphis when it comes to a team that loves to stop the run. This is probably going to be his toughest game, toughest challenge this year. You know, what does he have to do this weekend in order to the Warhawks get a win? Is this game kind of fall on his shoulders, or is it going to have to be kind of split between him and Evans?
Well, I mean, they're both going to have really good games, and Josh will set up Caleb to be successful on the ground, and so. Look, they're going to stick with Josh Johnson. You know, he has proven to be, the bell cow catalyst of this football team, at least on offense. And, you know, he was just absolutely gassed, and he couldn't give it anymore against Texas State. And he's going to be, you know, I saw him actually Monday while I was going doing some of my pregame interviews, and there he is, you know, in the training room working on his body. He's not injured or anything, but he's just trying to make sure his body is right. He's getting his massages. He's getting all the things that he needs to be able to go and have a big workload here on Saturday. So Coach V called him a pro in every sense of how you can call somebody a pro. Now, he's not meaning he's going to be an NFL star. What he means and how he handles his business. And what I just mentioned to you, making sure he's in the training room, taking care of his body, is what he means about being a pro and being ready to play on Saturday. He did that last week on a short week to try to get himself ready to give every ounce that he had against Texas State. So they're going to give him the football, and we know what App can do. We saw it against Lafayette and what they were able to do and shutting down their running game. So it's going to be a challenge, but I feel like this offensive line likes to be challenged, and I feel like Josh Johnson likes to be challenged as well. You know, he's seventh in the nation right now as far as running backs, so he wants to add to that number. He wants to go for another 100 yards, and most importantly, he wants to see his team win a massive football game on the road at Appalachian State. So he will certainly be the focal point of this offense.
What are the, you know, just quick, you know, 3 points, kind of like how we asked you last time, you know, what are the three things that ULM, is there, you know, outside of, you know, the coach speak, is there three things that you're looking for ULM to do in order for them to get a win this weekend?
Number one, cut down on penalties, in particular second half penalties. Back-to-back weeks, Memphis and Texas State have had 9-plus penalties just in the second half. It's too many. Got to cut those out. So that's number one. Number two, you got to find a way to get something special. And, you know, this team was so used to Marcus Green a couple of years ago and what he was able to do on special teams. And, you know, we just haven't had anybody that can go and do what Marcus was able to do. But to beat them, like I mentioned, what App has done, you know, they've gotten some things done in the special teams game. Warhawks have to find a way to get a big return, either for a touchdown or set them up for a big score in there as well. And then finally, you know, this is going to be a classic strength versus strength. You know, ULM can run the football. We've seen that. And this offensive line down a man right now with TJ Fiola, the right guard, out for the season. They've kind of pieced this thing back around and, you know, played pretty well last week against Texas State. How are they going to do against, you know, Appalachian State, and how solid they are on the defensive front? And can they go and win that battle? They're being challenged this week and by their coaching staff to go and win that battle. And if they are successful, Warhawks going to have a heck of a chance to pull off that W there on the mountaintop.
All right. Well, sweet. Well, thank you so much, Nick, for joining us again tonight. Obviously, we're hoping that ULM can, I mean, a big win. I mean, both these teams undefeated in the conference, but a big win. I think this would be a huge win, I think, in the middle of the season for the Warhawks, especially if they're wanting to go bowling. So, Nick, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Appreciate the invite as always. Thank you, guys.
He said it. He said bell cow. Bell cow. That's our first appearance of bell cow this season, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's the first one. Bell cow. Well, we got to get that on a t-shirt.
Well, he is a bell cow, let me tell
you. Josh Johnson, we were talking about him at the intro to this segment. Yep. What did you have to say?
I mean, Josh Johnson. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. But the biggest thing that I think for them has been an X factor, and he mentioned this guy's name, but Josh Peterson, he's a tight end for him.
Yeah, it's a bunch of Joshes.
There's a bunch of Joshes.
They're just joshing around.
It's just man, you're killing it in this one, aren't you? Josh Peterson, I think Caleb Evans, you know, he runs around all the time, but Josh Peterson has been a really nice, like, escape plan almost for Caleb Evans. He's got 5 touchdowns on the year as a tight end. He's a tight end by the way. His dad is Doug Peterson, who's also a coach. So the kid, he knows how to play football, but I really think he's going to be an X factor in this ball game. I mean, a big tight end, got really good size. He obviously is a red zone threat if he's got 5 touchdowns. I think he could be really deadly if ULM can drive on this App State team. So that would be my X factor, you know, coming out of this game.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily have an X factor, but something that Nick White just mentioned was the stats aren't great, but they're workmanlike. And that's something we kind of talked about in the segment before, talking about how the stats aren't, and it's blowing my mind too, because I was like, wait a minute, that can't be right. App State is the number 10 scoring offense in the country. Mm-hmm. Scoring offense. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they don't even crack the top 50 in total offense. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? Let's go ahead and bring in somebody from App State. Maybe they can help us out.
This call is now being recorded.
How's it going, Adam?
Hey, what's up? How we doing?
This is Colin, by the way. You're in the we are actually in a recording studio for the first time ever.
Hey, nice.
We're actually in we're at Troy in Troy, Alabama for the Troy and South games this week. So,
okay.
So one of our old teachers let us use their recording booth. So this is like the most legit thing I think we've done all year long.
So, nice, that's awesome.
So we're having
glad to be a part of such a high standard today.
Oh, you know, we're high class here at the Bench Boys. Thank you again. It was so short notice. But thank you for coming on.
No, I appreciate the invite. Appreciate the invite.
I've been talking with Ethan Joyce for the last like year about getting him on, we just haven't had an App State game yet this year. And then I reached out to him earlier this week, and he goes, Tuesday and Wednesday I'm just slammed. And I said, well, do you got anybody else in mind? And he said, Adam Whitney. I said, okay, I'll see if I can find him. So. But thank you for coming on.
Of course. Yeah. Appreciate what you guys do. Thanks for having me.
So basically what we're going to talk about is you guys can go. Okay. So it's a game of the week. And so we've already talked to the ULM guy, and basically we're going to do about a 12 to 15 minute interview with each one of you guys that we put in the show. And, we're going to talk about, you know, just where the team's been this entire year. Obviously, I think the biggest thing is your rank. I'm in 20, you know, top 25. It's the highest ranking in Sun Belt history. Just what's it like in Boone right now? I mean, are people just, you know, partying because of just, you know, where they're at? Or is it kind of like a sense of, like, because of, you know, the last two times that Sun Belt teams have been ranked, they've lost the next game. Let's just cross, you know, like hold on to everything before let's go play the game type deal.
Right.
And then, you know, when I was looking over, you know, App State this year, they're averaging 40 a game, but they aren't like putting up gaudy numbers every game and, you know, on the offensive side of the ball. And I mean, you know, Zach Thomas is only averaging, I mean, I think he's only thrown for under 1,000 yards, but he's kind of a workmanlike type guy. So, talk about that. And then just what, ULM kind of presents to you guys as difficulties this week and how, what App State will have to do in order to win this ball game type thing.
Sure.
So, we'll keep it to about 15 minutes and, it'll be good. So I think we're recording here. How long are you just play by play for football?
Yeah, so I just do football. This is my fourth season. I'm a graduate of App State back in 2004.
Awesome. Have you been doing like other stuff, or how did you kind of roll into the play by play job?
Yeah, so I work for Learfield IMG College in Winston-Salem. We're the rights holder for broadcasts all across the country, including many of the schools in the Sun Belt. I'm in charge of broadcast operations in Winston, and that's my full time gig. And then I've been doing play-by-play work here and there, and then when the App State opportunity came about in 2016, got in the mix and got the call. So it was it makes for a chaotic fall because I don't actually live in Boone, but I commute back and forth. Like I was in Boone yesterday. We had our coaches show last night. And I'll head up there again on Friday to get things ready for Saturday's game.
Okay. All right. Well, perfect. Well, are you ready to rock? You ready to do this?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're good to go. All right. 3, 2, 1. And now we're joined by Adam Witten, the play-by-play announcer for the Appalachian State Mountaineers. First of all, Adam, you are the first time guest for App State this year. Thank you again for coming on to the show tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I do want to go ahead and get this out of the way just to make sure that everyone stays informed on App State, but it is Appalachian State.
Oh, Appalachian. Oh God. Everyone's going to hurt me. We might just re-edit it after. although I don't know how to pronounce this, ULL, Louisiana, all the Sun Belt schools, we're just having trouble with them. So, I guess just talking about this week, and a tough challenge. Obviously, you guys are 2-0, playing another undefeated team out of the West in ULM. What does ULM kind of present for you guys this week as a difficult challenge?
Well, you look on the surface and you see a team coming in that's 3-3, and you think, oh, okay, they're not having that great of a season. But when you look deeper at kind of what they've been facing this year, three of their four non-conference games were against two teams from the Power Five in Florida State and Iowa State, and then another G5 school that was just ranked in the top 25 last week in Memphis. And as many people know, ULM had a chance to win that game against Florida State. They were a missed extra point away from potentially extending that game and maybe even winning it over the Seminoles. So it's a very good team. It's a dynamic offense, a very balanced offense, and App is going to see a lot of the same players that it saw 2 years ago in Monroe when ULM won 52-45. Caleb Evans is a tremendous quarterback. They have one of the best defensive corners in the conference in Corey Strotter, who has been a ball hawk throughout the season. They have a versatile running back core, very talented receivers. They distribute it well. And like I said, just a very balanced offense. And so, they've won two conference games. They've been well-tested early in the season. And so App's really going to have its hands full. And then the fact that you have the two teams, the only two teams that are without a conference loss, just really shows you just how important this game is and then the quality of the two teams that are going to be facing off.
Last week you guys play, you go on the road, you play a really tough and a good, I label them as being a really physical ULL Raging Cajun squad. You get the win out of there. Do you have time to take a breath? Because now you turn back around, you get a top 25 ranking, and then you play an undefeated ULM team. Have you guys been able to catch a breath at all with what has happened over the past week?
Well, it's kind of the unique scheduling that comes with being in the Sun Belt Conference, because App is finishing up a stretch in which they've only, played two games in the matter of, 3.5 weeks or whatever it is. Because when you play those Wednesday games, you get it's kind of your bye week, but it's kind of not a full bye week. But they had the previous week off. Since from their Saturday game against Coastal Carolina, which was at the end of September. So you're going into, October you're getting close to late October and you've only played one game since September ended. And that was the Wednesday game on October 9th against Lafayette. So, you know, it's kind of a weird schedule, but then starting on Saturday against Monroe, they're going to play, I believe it's their last seven games over a span of 42 days. So, they're getting ready to go through the ringer, against the remainder of their Sun Belt schedule, and then a game against South Carolina in Columbia. So it's about to get really challenging. And I think they realize with that top 25 ranking that you're talking about, you know, there is a lot more football to be played. And that's about, you know, how good this team is with its top 25 ranking, or how close it might be to running the table or potentially winning another Sun Belt conference. There are still seven games left to play, and they're all coming in a span of 42 days. So, it is going to be quite the marathon for the second half of the season, and they've got to make sure that they're recuperating correctly from games, because they're going to have some short turnarounds on a couple of games, making sure that they are just preparing as much as well as possible in short amount of time, because they've had the benefit of two bye weeks in the first half of the season and a Wednesday night game. They're not going to have any more of that the rest of the way. So, you know, all this stuff that's happened the first half of the season has been great, but I think everybody kind of realizes, hey, there is a bear of a stretch coming here to close out the last month and a half of the season.
You know, a lot of people outside of Boone, you know, there's obviously the transition of coaching at the two best programs in the Sun Belt we were talking about earlier in the show, and. You know, I kind of credit. I was kind of shocked with the consistency that's still at App State and between the two coaching staff. Is that something that has kind of surprised you, or did most of the people in Bone kind of expect the you know, being good in all three phases of the game to still be there?
Well, you know, it's interesting because on paper, people expected a lot of this App State team. You know, they were picked to win the league again this year. And a lot of that's because of how much they had coming back. I mean, they were bringing back 10 starters on offense, and until a preseason injury along the defensive line, they were going to bring back all but four starters on defense, plus your starting place kicker, your starting punter, your kick returners, all of that. So there was a lot coming back from last year's team, but, you know, Coach Drinkwitz and the rest of the staff, they were very quick to point out when people started asking the question about, hey, you know, You're inheriting quite the squad, and you got a chance to really continue the winning ways here. He said, you know, all of these guys are experienced, and some of them are juniors and seniors in terms of the App State program, but they're all freshmen within our system. They were installing a brand new offensive system. The defense, while it was still running similar formations and schemes, there's different communications, different calls. You know, coaches all have different styles and different languages that they speak, and so. It takes a minute to try to transcribe all of that and put it into effect on the field. And we saw that with some inconsistent play with the defense earlier in the season. You know, the offense has been good enough, but I still don't think it's reached its potential just yet. And so a lot of that's just because everybody's working with new people, and they're all learning a new scheme. They're interpreting different languages and the way the plays are called. And again, that just takes a little bit to get that figured out. So that was kind of the expectation from folks around the program coming into the season, is that yes, the talent is there, but let's not say that because we've got all these guys who are used to winning that we're automatically going to be able to get this thing rolling and be able to get it clicking right away. And it has taken a little bit, but you know, you can't argue with the results, 5-0 so far, despite the inconsistencies. So they feel good about where they are.
You know, and I'm looking at, you know, you were talking about the offense, and they kind of had a different playbook coming in. Zach Thomas doesn't look like he's missed a lot, but you know, he's not putting up gaudy numbers like what we saw early out of a Logan Bonner or out of a Caleb Barker type early in the season. Zach Thomas is kind of almost like a workman type personality, kind of effort or what he would do every Saturday. Is it shocking you that he's not putting up any gaudy numbers, or is that just how it's designed, how this offense is designed?
Well, I think the thing that is important to understand is, you know, you guys, we were talking a little bit before we started recording about how it's interesting that App is putting up gaudy point totals, and it's right. It was at the top of the conference prior to the Louisiana game, top of the conference before that game in terms of average points scored. And a lot of that, I think, has to do, guys, with the fact that up until the UL game, there were a lot of favorable field position situations that the Mountaineers got themselves into. And so they haven't really had to eat up huge chunks of yardage all that often. I tallied it up prior to the game against the Cajuns. App had 8 touchdowns of driving 50 yards or less so far through the first 4 games of the season. And it's because of defense forcing turnovers. It's because of special teams finding hidden yardage, which is your kick return and your punt return yardage. That's the hidden yardage that can, impact the outcome of the game. And so it really wasn't until the game against the Cajuns that App was having to put together long drives consistently. They were having to start many drives from inside the 10-yard line against the Cajuns. But prior to that, they had been given such favorable field position because of the way the defense and special teams had played that, they weren't having to go 75, 80 yards at a time. And so they weren't having to it looks like they're dominant on the ground and the line of scrimmage is being owned by the offensive line. But then you look at the stat sheet at the end of the game and they rush for less than 200 yards. Like, well, why is that? Well, it's because some of the drives are starting at the plus 45 yard line or the plus 30 yard line or things like that. So I think some of the numbers that you guys are seeing, and they may appear to be pedestrian when it comes to, what Zach Thomas is throwing for, or, maybe Darrington Evans rushing yards over the last couple of games. I think that's a product of just, the other phases of the game, putting the offense in situations where they don't have to eat up huge chunks of yardage to score.
And this week we have probably the two of the best running backs in the conference going head to head against each other with Josh Johnson and Darrington Evans. Is it easy to kind of predict that's going to be a big factor of who runs the ball better this weekend out of those two?
Man, it's tough. I've kind of given up on trying to predict college football. I mean, you go back to the game against Louisiana and you had the top rushing team in the country in with Lafayette. You had the two highest scoring offenses in the conference. And they play a 17-7 game where, Louisiana barely rushes, doesn't even rush for 200 yards in the game. And so, the over under for that game was like 70 points and it ended up being a point total of 24. So, in this game, the running game is going to be important for App. It's going to be important for both teams. I think what's really going to be critical is when teams get into scoring position. Can you run the ball to make sure that you stay in front of the chain so you can finish drives? I think that's the important thing to watch when it comes to, is the running game helping the offense or helping to score points? It's not necessarily the total yardage. It's on first down, and if it's first and 10 or if it's second and 10 and you're putting the ball on the ground, are you able to get 4, 5, 6 yards during those opportunities so that you're getting yourself in third and short? Because what the game is going to come down to for both teams is, are you continuing to move the chains and are you converting touchdowns inside the red zone? And I don't think you can do either of those unless you're able to get those 5 or 6 yards on the ground when you need to put yourself in favorable positions in the red zone and on third down. So I don't necessarily think it's going to be which guy gets the most yards and which team gets the most yards on the ground is going to win the game. I think I would more so look toward, what are you averaging per carry? How many negative plays do you have on the ground? How many tackles for loss are you giving up? I think when it comes to the running game, that's what could end up determining who's more successful on offense.
Yep. Real quick, we always ask, 3 quick points of what does App State need to do, in this game? Obviously you're talking about establishing the run game, but what else, what are the 3, if you have 3 quick points that App State needs to do in order to win this ball game?
Well, I think turnovers are going to be big in this game. It's been big for Louisiana so far this season, or for ULM, I should say, this season. They have forced turnovers more than anybody in the conference. And App has done a really good job, knock on wood, of not giving the ball away. They've thrown 2 interceptions this year. They haven't lost a fumble. So they've only lost 2 turnovers or they've only given away the ball twice, through 5 games. So that's going to be key, first of all, is making sure that you're not giving the other team, easy opportunities to score. You know, if App is having to do what it did against Louisiana, where it's starting its drive from the 5 and the 10-yard line or at the 1-yard line on a couple of occasions, you know, it's going to be really hard to put up 30, 40 points, which is what they want to do. So, I think the hidden yardage in the game is going to be the second key point beyond turnovers, where it's can App get some yardage in the return game, in the kicking game, to make sure that they're not starting drives inside the 20, inside the 10, because, as I mentioned, ULM is really good at turning teams over, and the more plays you have to run to score on a drive against a defense like that, the more opportunities they're going to have to get takeaways. So that's really the second thing. And then the third thing is they got to protect Zach Thomas. I think that's been – if you had to come up with something that they really – haven't been pleased with this year, it's how many times Zach has been sacked and been hit, especially in some key situations this year. And, you know, ULM's got a really good defensive line. You know they're going to try to make Zach uncomfortable. So how well do they protect him so that he can be back there and go through his progressions and find his bevy of talented receivers? So takeaways, the hidden yardage and special teams and protecting Zach Thomas along the offensive line and with the running backs and tight ends, I think those are going to be the three main things for App State.
That sounds like an equation to a W in my book. Well, Adam, well, thank you so much for coming on tonight and giving us, you know, App. This is our first game with App this year, so we always love to hear about all the teams that we haven't touched yet. So, but once again, Adam, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate what you guys do and covering the Sun Belt and the Group of Five schools. And thanks for having me on. I appreciate the invite.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right. Well, thank you so much, man. This will be probably – it might go out tonight. We're not sure. We're getting under the deadline here to get everything done. So, but
okay.
Thank you so much again for coming up. And I think we have you guys again in a couple of weeks, so we might reach back out to you. So.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Anytime.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man.
All right, see you guys.
Yep, bye.
You know, the biggest thing, the key that, you know, we were talking about Gotti numbers, and they score 40 a game, but they're just offensive numbers just aren't anything that you're like, well, man, that's a powerful offense. But and he hit the nail on the head, which I didn't even know about. But they 8 drives of 50 yards of less that ended up in touchdowns. I mean, that means their defense is still there. Their defense is doing what their defense has always done, which is create turnovers and give them good field position. And, I mean, that's what you want to see. You want to, if you get good field position, take advantage of it. And that's what they're doing. You know, they have one of the best red zone offenses in the country, as to what Nick White pointed out. I mean, that is why. I mean, so they're like a sneaky good team. And then the other thing that I wanted to point out was ULM. I know you're about to – they were kind of your key, but ULM – their schedule that is oh goodness that is, that's what
that
you
was
were
it. That's what I was gonna say.
Okay, well, you well, talk about their well, schedule, man.
We took away the two biggest things from that. Mm-hmm. Number one, it all makes sense now.
It does.
And the field position thing, that was a great stat. Mm-hmm. Dude, like, you know what, let's bring it back just once. Been on Sports Fun Fact of the Day, brought to you by Adam Witten. Thank you so much, Adam. But yeah. Like that was that it makes so much sense now.
Yeah.
That's also, it's not just a defense thing, though. That's special teams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a key to the game that he talked about was you got to get those return yards,
mm-hmm.
punt returns, kick returns, fumble returns, interception returns. When you get the ball, when you get that breakaway chance in football,
mm-hmm.
you got to make it count.
Yep.
Now, speaking of making it count, you're right. You were talking about scheduling. ULM, that was my point.
Yeah.
Two P5s. And Memphis.
And Memphis.
Memphis may as well be a Power 5.
They're right there.
They're as good. I'm sure they beat Ole Miss at the beginning of the season. There
I
it
mean,
is.
They've played a tough schedule, and he said it just right. It's like, this isn't a run-of-the-mill 3-3 team 6 weeks into the year. I mean, they've played really, really good teams.
ULM may be the best 3-3 team in the country. Gosh darn it.
There you go. You hit it here first. So,
so.
But no, it's going to be a really good game, and I think – and he even said strength versus strength. We're going to see it. I think the running matchup itself. I love this running back matchup between Evans and Johnson.
It's the two top run with no disrespect to Louisiana. This is the best running back matchup in the conference.
So with that is your rundown. That is your breakdown. And now we're going to get into our best bets.
Best bets.
I mean, you heard it here. We don't have to talk about it long. I mean, this is going to be a fun physical game, I think. And I think Last week, App State had a physical game. We're going to see. This is where App State's about, and you heard it. They're going to play 7 games in 42 days or 6 games or however many. This is their grind, and they start out with a really physical team in Louisiana, and then they got to play this team that has a 2 guys that can run that they love to run the ball. But right now, it's in Boone. App State is just rolling. They're a top 25 team now. I don't think like what happened last year. I don't think App State falters. I think they're a 14.5-point favorite. I think they cover. I just think this offense is too good, and unless ULM and can get turnovers like what they've done, but that would keep them in the ball game. But App State right now, their offense, I think they really do run the ball really well this weekend, and I think they get the win.
I said at the beginning of this program, I'm going to say it again now. Until App State stumbles, I'm going to pick them. So here's my deal. Normally, this is the situation that I would say circle it. I have a gut feeling circle it is going to be a lot closer. I'm picking ULM to cover, but I'm picking App to win it, okay. And here's why. We talk about ULM having 3 games against a Power 5 and an American Conference team. App State is just as good as each of them. The only one of those that I think is not as good as App is Florida State. Yes, it was close, but the other 2 games against Iowa State and Memphis, they weren't particularly close.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think this one's going to be – it's got a 14-point spread.
Yeah,
that might be on the net, on the head there, but it's a conference game. There's a lot on the line. ULM's coming into this ready to scrap and prove itself in the conference. So I think ULM covers, but I'm giving App the win straight up.
All right, well, let's go with our, I guess, team of the week from last week, Coastal Carolina and Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern coming off a bye week. Coastal Carolina obviously coming off a tough loss to Georgia State. I think that was a big – they needed that game. They really, really needed that. Coastal Carolina did. Mm-hmm. Georgia Southern sleepwalked through South Alabama and somehow won that game.
They did sleepwalk. That was a slugfest.
I mean, okay, South Alabama had 1 drive of more than 3 plays.
Yeah.
I will say that. Like, now, when I say sleepwalk, I don't mean they ran them over. They just weren't there. Like, they were just...
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I wasn't meaning like they ran them over. I was just meaning like they just drudged through that game, and Georgia Southern just didn't look right the entire game. And
I agree.
Somehow,
okay, I agree with that.
Somehow got a win out of it. I don't know how, but...
That should have been South Alabama's
game.
It
should have been. They blocked the field goal. They get the ball.
That was ridiculous, and I know what day it is. I know where we are.
Yeah.
I'm saying it here. South Alabama should have won that game. That was ridiculous.
He said that on tour. I think we might have just summoned like a demon or something like that on this campus. So
no comment. The point is, Coastal and Georgia Southern pulled out the win. That is what happened. Those are the facts. Them's the facts.
Them's are the facts. I think Georgia Southern, they get a whole week of rest. They're without a running back. I think they're down another running back now. But I think Cy Wirtz starts getting stuff together. I think Georgia Southern. Coastal, this is a huge game for Coastal. They need to win this game. But the problem is it's at Georgia Southern. I don't see Coastal winning that. CJ Marable was completely shut down last weekend by Georgia State. I think Georgia Southern probably watches some tape, figures out how they shut him down, which was, to me, shocking because he's such a dynamic guy out of the backfield. But I think Georgia Southern gets this win.
See, you brought up a good point because I already had my mind made up. I'm not going to change it. I'm going to stick with my word. But Statesboro is a hard place to play.
Oh, Paulson Stadium's hard.
Georgia Southern has a killer record there. I'm not even going to ask what it is. But here's my thing they're going to watch tape on TJ Marable. Google threw me off. The point is, they're going to watch tape on CJ Marable, but I don't think Southern's defense is going to stop him as well as State's defense did. Okay. See, the thing is about Southern is that they also have these other holes around.
Mm-hmm.
Their secondary is a lot like Troy to me. It should have been this powerful thing. It should have been a solid defense that at least made turnovers, if not giving up big plays. Southern's secondary has shown plenty of holes,
mm-hmm.
especially against South, especially against LSU. And what can Coastal do?
You go South to LSU. There is a huge.
But if both of those teams can put themselves in a position to take the lead every single drive, mm-hmm. your secondary has issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think Coastal comes out of the gate and is like, you know what? You can have CJ Marable. I'm gonna get that right eventually. you can have CJ Mara, but we're going to throw it on you.
Okay.
I'm picking Coastal on this one,
okay.
Not Georgia Southern, because I also think they're upset about that last win, or that loss.
And then we can move to Atlanta.
Let's go to Hotlanta.
Hotlanta, Georgia State might be the hottest team in the conference right now. But then they're playing an Army team that I think they played last year, and Army handled them last year.
Army was fantastic last year.
Yeah, Army was a different ball club last year. Army also almost upset Michigan earlier in the year. Army's 3-3 coming
into this. And they almost upset Oklahoma last year.
They did.
So.
I mean, but that was a different
right.
That was a different team. I just don't think Michigan was that good. But matchup predictor for ESPN FPI. Given it's close, 53-46, giving it to Army, though, on the road, which is kind of shocking considering how well Georgia State's been playing for the last 2 weeks. Dan Ellington is going to have to throw the ball. I mean, that's just how it is. I don't think he can escape or get out of there with a win this weekend against Army if he doesn't run the ball. Army is a different – now, granted, Coastal, they like to run the ball as well. Army's a different type of running. I mean, that's what they're going to do to you.
Yeah, it's a triple option.
They are going to come after you on the line. And so this is another – remember how I was talking about they're the most physical team in the Sun Belt? Another physicality test right here.
Absolutely.
If you can go four quarters with Army and win, that takes a physical ball club to get that done. So I like Georgia State right now. I like Trey Barnett. He's playing really good. Dan Ellington's playing. He's fine. That thing with Dan Ellington is he's just finding ways to win. I mean, yeah, he didn't have a great passing game last week, but he still ran for 120 something yards. So he's finding ways, and good players find ways to win. And so I'm gonna give it to Dan Ellington. I say Georgia State wins this weekend.
You know what? I'm gonna make another pick against a Georgia team. Here we go, Army. I mean, it's close, and there's a reason they're giving it to Army on the road. You know, they're not the same program they were last week, but when you almost knock off two big name, two blue blood powerhouse, power five teams in a span of 24 months, 12 months, sorry, can't even count how long a year is. Point is, Army is still a solid team. They may be an independent, but they've got that triple option offense. You're right, it will be a physicality test, but I'm going to go with West Point and the Cadets. So
I like it. We're going to go out of conference, and we're going to roll here.
Let's do it.
Because we got to roll
Let's
here.
Let's do it.
Marshall and Florida Atlantic. The Lane train has not been on the tracks at all the entire year. Marshall, I think it's too good. I'm going to go Marshall.
That's me too. I really don't think the Lane train ever got out of the station, completely honest with you.
I don't think they did. And then we're going to go to another military academy.
Let's do it.
South Florida and Navy. South Florida, bad team. Really bad team.
Yep.
They got shut out by Wisconsin. And I know Wisconsin's defense is that good. Navy's not the same. But Navy runs the ball, throws the ball, is just better. Navy gets the win there.
Yeah, I honestly thought this was going to be a better matchup at the beginning of the year when we selected it. I thought USF was going to be a better team than they are. Turns out they're not the team. Cincinnati is the team. Tulane is the team. Let's go to Tulane and Memphis. That's our last game. That's going to be a heck of a game. I'm so glad I picked this one to begin with. This is going to be a heck of a game. Who you got?
Well, Willie Fritz, Georgia Southern guy.
Yeah.
Memphis. I mean, I wish we had more time to talk about this game. I mean, I know they're not in our conference, but this is a really, really good game, I think. Two really powerful running style teams. Memphis obviously kind of likes to throw a little bit more, but Willie Fritz, I got to go with Willie Fritz just because he's a Georgia Southern guy. I think Tulane, they're exciting to watch. The Green Wave, they probably got those sweet helmets on this year, so I'm going to go Tulane.
I'm not going to lie with you. Those baby blues are the best thing to happen in college football this season. So here's the thing. I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of waited for you to pick because I'm going to go the other way. Memphis is a heck of a squad this year, and they could very well be the team in the New Year's Six this year. Memphis, SMU, and App State are the three best possibilities.
Boise State.
Apart from Boise State, those three teams are surprisingly the front runners for the NY6. This is going to be a huge game for them. I don't know if it's going to be as close as we hoped, but I'm going to go with Memphis anyway.
Well, I like it. Those are our games of the week. Those are the best bets. Obviously, hopefully, we'll see what happens in the weekend. We'll probably go undefeated. Who knows? But again,
we're both going to go undefeated.
We're also doing this from Troy University. Special shout out to former teacher Aaron Taylor for letting us use
Hall School of Journalism and
Hall
Communication.
Hall School of Journalism here at Troy University. But tonight, we got South. We got Troy. We picked them last week. Battle of the Belt. It's going to be a great one. We'll see what happens. If you're listening to this, you probably already know the score by now. But no, it's going to be a great game.
Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Get in with it. Get all the updates. Follow us on whatever. First of all, follow us on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys for all of our takes. You can follow him at Colin Cahill. I'm at Thomas Gleaton. We are on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play, all the different podcast places. If you're not on one, let us know where you want us to be. I'm tripping over my words. It's okay. I think that's enough of a time for us to say this is it.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, another great week, light week. I think in a couple weeks we finally get back to normal. But no, going to be a fun week. So
you guys know the deal. Just come on back.